As I mentioned this morning, for the remaining time, I will share with you, really, something I believe that could minister to you and help you to understand where we are at as believers. Understanding the dynamics of spiritual warfare. The reality of the spirit world in Haiti. How the Bible comes alive on a daily basis. It is not just things you read, but really things you live, reality of life. The Apostle John tells us that Jesus appeared to destroy the work of the devil. 1 John 3:8. God the Father sent his Son to set people free from spiritual bondage, to rescue them from the dominion of darkness, and bring them into the kingdom of his Son, according to Colossians 1:13. Let me tell you, there is a fierce battle going on out there for the souls of man. And the devil is restless, seeking whom he may devour. He's at work. Some people may ask, what devil are you talking about? What are you talking about? Where do you get that? We don't see him. I'm talking about the same one the Word of God talks about beginning with Genesis. Chapter 3. And throughout. The one who continues to deceive people and inflicts great casualties upon our modern society. I do not know about you in America, but let me tell you, in Haiti and other countries, a lot of African countries as well, the spirit world is as much real as the physical world. And spiritual warfare is a daily reality. A daily reality. For some, it is a dreadful reality. For people who are living in fear, in satanic attacks. And they're trying to do whatever they can to protect themselves. Because they know they are in danger. And they need to find ways to protect themselves, their children, their family, and their relatives. Once I went to a countryside of Haiti, in a mission trip, and one lady, I was sharing the gospel with her, trying to convince her about the need to receive Christ as her personal savior. And she told me, I understand, but I cannot do it. I said, why? If you understand what I'm telling you, why you cannot do it? She told me, you know what? I cannot, because if I do, I'm going to die. Satan is going to kill me. I said, how do you know that? She said, yes, because my brother tried that. He died. My uncle tried it. He died. My sister tried it. She died. I know that was true what she was telling me, because I know the devil has no power over us believers. But the thing is, in her mind, for some reason, they are trying to leave Satan, and they are dead now. Because she was living in fear. Unfortunately, I was not able to convince her. I was really early in my faith. It was very difficult to convey the message that I needed to. But it was so sad, because that lady was living in fear of Satan destroying her life. Because she was living in spiritual bondage. But yet, if for some it is a dreadful reality, but for others it is a liberating truth. When witnessing the power of God at work, setting people free from demonic influence, it's always an exciting thing to see that. God at work in people's life. As we've been able to witness in Haiti many times, and to see the Word of God, the Bible, really comes alive. We do not just hear about spiritual warfare in Haiti, to tell you the truth. But we live it, or we live in the midst of it. Let me give you a few examples what I mean by that. In Haiti, Spiritual warfare is a common fact and experienced by many, not just a biblical concept. It is a fact because they live it. Passages such as this, Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasim. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. That is the word of God. Chapter 9, verse 17. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech." Verse 20. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. This is scripture. This is the word of God. And demon possession cases, as well as spiritual deliverance, as being seen in the Bible, is a generally accepted fact in Haiti. Passages such as the book of Acts, chapter 16 to 18. Once, this is an episode in the life of the Apostle Paul during his missionary journey. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Drop down verse 18. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. And in 19 as well, verse 13 and 16, another episode of search. Verse 13. So Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon possessed. This is not fake. This is not a joke. It is a reality. We read in the Bible, in God's Word, and we leave it in Haiti as well, those cases. One afternoon in Haiti, I believe we were eating dinner, and somebody knocked at the door, at the gate. In Haiti, don't expect people to phone you, tell you, you know, they're coming or make an appointment. They just show up. That's the way it is of the culture. And they asked for the pastor. I had to leave the table and went outside. And that lady was, young lady was in distress. She could not control herself. I said, "What's going on?" And she told me, "Pastor, I need you." I said, "What is it?" She told me, "My cousin went to see an evil priest because she was sick, close to death. And they told her somebody's trying to put a spell on her to kill her. They're trying to help her. But the thing is, now they told me, if I do not do something, I'm next. They're going to get me. And I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I don't want to die. What do I do?" I took time trying to comfort her, share the gospel. But in a nutshell, I told her, "You know what? I told her, I have two options for you. I believe that I can pray with you and asking God to protect you, that's one thing, but that may be temporary. But I told her, if you decided to give your heart to God, if you decided to allow Christ to enter your heart, you will be saved, and that will be a lifelong reality. You don't need me anymore to pray with you." And I took the time to share the gospel with her. And at the end, I asked, "What do you want me to do?" And she decided to receive Christ as a personal Savior as a result of that. And from that day forward, that young lady was transformed. You see the joy in her face, and she's been serving in that church since that day. Her life was changed as a result of that, because she has seen the power of God at work in her life. And she shared with me many times how God intervened and protected her in many ways. That's the gospel. That's the reality we live in Haiti. Not only we saw spiritual warfare in Haiti on an almost daily basis, but fortune-telling or the practice of divination is well known and has become a source of financial gain for evil priests in Haiti. The name is Hunga. That's the local name. Again, Acts 16. It's there. It is in God's Word. Acts 16:16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had the spirit by which she predicted the future. That's what it is, medium, divination. That's what she does. She earned, as a result of that, she earned a great deal of money for her honors by fortune telling. You read it in the Bible, but in Haiti we see it. We see it. Because people do that all the time. People may not have money even to provide for the family, to take care of the children, but they will find some money to go to see an evil priest so that they can know what's coming for them. Because their life depends on that. They want to know what's going on. If somebody's out there to hurt me, who is after me? What's going on in my life? That's what they do. This type of evil practice is very appealing to voodoo practitioners, for their lives depend on it. And that represents a socially accepted money-making business for the local evil priest. That's how they make money. Like you see here, that lady providing money for her honor. People do the same thing in Haiti. As a matter of fact, it is not just Haitian. I remember when I was in high school, I had a professor, believe it or not, well-educated man who could speak at least 4 languages fluently. French, Spanish, English, Creole, and I don't know, something else. He was my English teacher at the time. And one day he was telling us what, besides teaching what he does, he told us clearly, I am an evil priest, that's what I do. I have my own temple, very sophisticated man. And he told us that he was a rich man, to tell you the truth. How do you get that much money? And he told us that there are people even coming from the U.S. to consult with them. He told me sometimes some people just get a plane in the morning from Miami to get to Haiti during the day and get the next plane to return, and pay him so much money for fortune-telling. American people here in the U.S., all kind, going to Haiti all the time to consult with that man. And as a result of that, he's a well affluent man, rich, so much money. And that was part of his what he does. Because he told us clearly, that's what I do. I'm a hunger. I'm an evil priest. And you come to my house, you will see my temple is inside. That's where I serve Satan. That's the kind of reality we see on an ongoing basis in Haiti. Not only we talk about spiritual warfare in a sense, dealing with evil spirit, demonic activities, demon possession, fortune telling in Haiti, but as well, in Haiti, public burning of magical objects is often used as a display of God's power and a sign of true repentance. We're going to see it. public burning of magical objects or artifacts, item people use for voodoo practice. When these people come to faith, they just publicly burn these things. Where do we learn that? In the Word of God, Acts 19. Acts 19 again, verse 17. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many, verse 18, many of those who believe now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought the scrolls together and burned them publicly. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. We do that all the time in Haiti. Those who have been involved in evil practices, especially those evil priests, when they are converted, to know exactly if that person is truly saved, if there is genuine conversion, that's one thing to count on. That person will invite you to come home, to go home with him, and burn, destroy all these things, all the voodoo temple items and objects. And they know not anybody can do that. And then the only people that can do it is believers, those who are truly saved, those who have the power of God. Because none other people will try that, because they know they cannot try it. And they know we believers, born-again believers, can do it, because we have the power of God at work in our lives. And we do that all the time. Voodoo temples with artifacts and icons are being destroyed in public view, as being seen in the book of Acts. We've seen it. Such public event usually signals a transition. That's what it is. A transition from voodoo religion to Christianity as proof of genuine conversion. Sister Lucia, that lady on my left, all her life, that's what she knew. Evil spirit worship, voodoo practices. The whole family was involved and still involved presently. And for some reason, she was ill, close to death. And she believed that one of her brothers, who was an evil priest, was the one trying to kill her. And God, in His sovereignty, allowed one member of our church who knew her, went to visit her, and she was able to talk to our church member. And our church member asked her, "Would you like to come over to my house to spend some time with me, and I will pray with you?" She said yes. She went over to her house. Our church member will continue to pray with her, asking other people to pray with her. And one Sunday, asked, "Why don't you go to church with me?" She could not even walk. She said, "I'm going with you." And that morning, she heard a message in that particular church. She gave her heart to Christ. And as a result of that, that's her testimony. As a result of that, she was healed instantly, both spiritually and physically since then. Everything was gone. All type of sickness was gone. She was on medication. She just trashed all of them. And up to now, she's a jewel in our church. In her community, she's a powerful testimony. Because everybody knew her, what she was doing. She was like a queen of voodoo in that particular area. It's a voodoo-infested area. But now, she's a light shining for Christ. And you know, our next church plant will be in her community. After her conversion, we started as a church once a month to go in her location or area to have an open-air meeting evangelistic outreach. That has been going on for some time now. And really, the church has been faithfully doing it. And our next step is to have a church plant in that community. Because as a result of a conversion, because people look at her and say, one lady told me once, we were visiting people sharing the gospel. And again, I was sharing the gospel with a lady. She told me, Pastor, let me tell you, I'm not a believer. I'm not saved. No, I don't remember her exact words. But she said, you know what? If Sister Lucia can be saved, there is hope for me too. There is hope for me too. That's her word. She's a powerful testimony in that community. Why does that say to us believers? Why even share that with you? Am I trying to scare you or, I don't know, to make sensation? No, not at all. Not at all. Let me conclude by saying, that implies that spiritual warfare is real, for God's word says so. It is written, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Did you read that in Ephesians chapter 6? Paul tells us clearly, verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6, 12. It is going on in Haiti right now, as well as in sophisticated countries like America and all over the world. It is there too. Now, the question is, do we believers take spiritual warfare seriously, or are we prepared and equipped to face it head on? The devil is well and alive, and is busy working out his evil plan, setting his trap for the next victim. There's always the next victim. Could be your neighbor, a relative, somebody close, somebody at work, even somebody in church sometimes. The next victim. Some example. Tragic events such as Columbine High School Massacre, Virginia Tech, and other types of violent actions and behavior that plagues the American society are not just the result of psychological problems. I don't think so. I truly believe that these are subtle cases of demonic activities in this country. But you know what? This is the danger. This is what is sad. But we are too sophisticated and spiritually blind to identify the unseen head of the enemy, the devil. It's always about psychology, upbringing, what took place, what happened. But they forgot about the unseen enemy, the devil, of spiritual warfare. As a final word, therefore, in order to engage this battle successfully, at least two things are required of us, at least two. Many, I'd put, just put two. Whether you are in Haiti or here in America. Number one, the absolute necessity to stand on solid spiritual ground. You need to. Ephesians 6 as well, verse 13. Therefore, as a result of that spiritual warfare, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm. And to do that, you need to arm yourself with all the resources that God has given us in His Word, being outlined in Ephesians 6. You read it, you will see everything you need. They are there. All the resources, the weapons we need to fight the spiritual fight is there, and other passages as well. We need to stand firm. Secondly, to believe that through the power of God and the enablement of the Holy Spirit, we can do the work of evangelism. It can be done. It can be done. Subduing demonic forces and expand the kingdom of God as a result of that. For the one that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. We have God with us. And I will conclude with that text found in Luke chapter 10. And let's look at it together. This is God's promises, a powerful passage. Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 and verses 17. After Christ sent out the 70 to share the gospel, to bring the good news to the lost, this is the result of that. Verse 17. The 70 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Yes, it's possible. We have seen it. It's real. Verse 18. But Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." This is God's promises to us. The victory is ours already. It's a matter of appropriating God's resources to make it happen. In Haiti, as well as here in America, especially in your neighborhood, in Teller, all around you. To do the work, God counted on us and has provided all that we need. Now it is up to us to do it. Thank you again. God bless you.